Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It's draft day. I'm all excited. I can't control myself. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I'll be all over Instagram live tonight during the draft, doing all sorts of stuff, just having fun. So if you have an Instagram account, I'll be on there yapping and yelling and screaming and laughing, and I just can't wait for it. I told my wife like 2 days ago, listen, so I said, do you want to watch the draft with me? And she goes, oh, it's just a lot of waiting around. I'm like, yeah, I know, but waiting for magic to happen is so much fun. She's like, I don't really, she says, I'll watch a game, but the draft is, she says, it's a lot of waiting. And I'm like, all great things in life you wait for.
It'll take time, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, honey, the Lions 7, let's wait together for 15 minutes and watch it happen. She wasn't interested.
The first round moves pretty quickly, though.
It's all good. I mean, it's just, listen, the first round is your biggest stars, so right. I'm willing to wait. But the second and third, let's speed the tempo. I'm fine to get 5 minutes move. But it's so exciting. I know. Listen, I like it. Whatever. I like it. So it's my last mock draft. This is
okay,
it.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, this is the last one. This is based on the betting markets. This isn't what I would do. This is what I think is going to happen. So number one, Trevor Lawrence, Jags, we all agree. So let's not waste any time on that. Number two, Zach Wilson, Jets. He's got a high ceiling. I think it could go south very quickly, but whatevs. Number three, I believe the Niners have already made decisions on Mac Jones. What they're doing now is protecting their butt. They're telling you they're really, they don't know. They like everybody else. So if everybody else succeeds and Mac fails, they can go back and go, well, we liked him. And I also think the Garoppolo trade is to protect their butt. If they get rid of him, then they can argue, we had to get a quarterback ready to play now. I think they've decided on Mac Jones. Number four, this is the move I would make, and it's the move I think Atlanta will make, Kyle Pitts. I don't think they need to get rid of Matt Ryan. Listen, he's a top 12 quarterback, former MVP, got to a Super Bowl a couple years ago. I don't think he's that much worse than 2 years ago, and they have a young O-line and young receivers. They grow together. You add Kyle Pitts. It is a great – it's a little bit like the Cowboys. If they get Kyle Pitts, they look a lot like Dallas. Good luck stopping them, but they don't tackle well. So I think they go Kyle Pitts. He and Trevor Lawrence are the real locks in this draft in terms of generational talent. Number five, Bengals. Okay. They're off. Let's be honest. Their offensive line's not a disaster. They have a really good center and a good left tackle, and those are the two most valuable offensive line positions, tackle and center. They went out and paid for a right tackle. Not great, but they paid for it. I believe they think they can upgrade their offensive line later, and I think they can. I don't think they can get a receiver like Ja'Marr Chase later. So I think they take Ja'Marr Chase, the LSU wide receiver. I think they believe, and I think they're right, he really is, last 2 years, he is different than everybody. He is physically different. He's a pro playing college. They could go offensive line, but let's not make it out to their offensive line's a wreck. It needs to be upgraded. But if you got a center you like they do and a left tackle, it's not a wreck. It's not, you know, it's not like the Jets the last 3 years. So then the Dolphins. Now this is, I would go offensive line. But I wouldn't go left tackle. I'd go Slater, even though Penei Sewell grades higher. Why? Because they have Austin Jackson at left tackle, and they like him. They went and got him last year. He's a good kid and a good player. But here's the thing. I know they went and got Will Fuller, and they have Devontae Parker. But the betting markets are saying they're taking Waddle. The betting markets are saying Waddle's going over Devontae Smith. And remember, they were only 23rd in the NFL last year in yards after the catch. So even though you went and got Will Fuller, he's not a guy that's going to give you 16, 17 games a year. He gets hurt a lot. So Jalen Waddle, again, is a guy. Now you've got a tight end you like. You got Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, a star. And then I think they believe, too, they can get offensive line help later. And I don't think Miami's offensive line, again, I don't think it's a disaster. So now we've got really good offensive linemen on the market and Detroit drafting 7. Okay. The Lions have allowed 40-plus sacks in 4 straight years. And that's with Matt Stafford, who's more mobile than Jared Goff. I think they get Penei Sewell. I think you have to go offensive line here. Now, do I think they would trade down a little bit? Yes. But they're a weird franchise. You went and got Goff. We know the thing with Goff. Once he got Andrew Whitworth with the Rams at left tackle, he was a much better quarterback. I don't think Dan Campbell's a great coach, but I think he likes size. He's impressed by that stuff. And Penei Sewell walks in the room, and he's a man. He's a 21-year-old man or a 20-year-old man. Now number 8. I've been saying this. I think New England moves up. I think New England watches this draft all night, and there's a chance they won't move up. But I think if it's 8 and it's Carolina, Carolina's got Darnold. They don't need a quarterback. I'm not saying they wouldn't take one, but they don't need one. What they need is picks and rebuilding. And I think Carolina trades down, gets more picks. New England moves in and takes Justin Fields. Now, they could take Trey Lance, but the stories this morning that are coming out is they lean Fields over Trey Lance. So I think New England gets their quarterback, plays under Cam for a year. Remember, New England doesn't have a ton of holes. Good O-line, solid backs, upgraded tight end wide receiver. Their defensive personnel is fine. I do think they could use, they love pass rushers, and I think they love corners. But I don't think they think if they stay at 15, they're going to get J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. So I think they move up, get a quarterback, plays, you know, and it tells you that Belichick's not going to retire anytime soon. Number 9, Broncos. I think they draft Trey Lance. I think it's a great fit. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke in a division with Herbert, Derek Carr, and Mahomes. That's the 4th best quarterback. So Trey Lance, no rush to play. You play Bridgewater, Drew Locke this year. You sit him for a year. I know a little about Trey Lance. I've met him. When I suggested Denver, he smiled. He liked that. So I think Denver. Okay, now you go Cowboys 10, Giants 11, Eagles 12. Here's my guess. I've been told now by 2 GMs. I was told by a general manager last night. It is a 2-corner draft. Patrick Surtain and Horn. Not that there aren't good corners after that, but they've either got an injury issue or they've got a length issue. These are the 2 stars. I think the Cowboys could take the Bama corner, wouldn't be surprised, but Dallas has a history of flashy, and J.C. Horn is flashier. He's moving up the draft. His dad played in the NFL forever. It would be a big hire. It'd get big. Oh, my God, they took over. And I think they take J.C. Horn, who, by the way, grades really high according to my guys. Giants go 11. Again, Joe Judge is the coach. So Brian Flores, what was the first big money he spent in free agency? A corner. Why? If you coach under Belichick, you know the value of corners. Joe Judge coached under Belichick. They've already solved their offensive weapon issue. They got Galladay and Sterling Sharp and Kyle Rudolph and Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley. Their offensive line's not a wreck. It's not a wreck. Don't listen to anybody. It's not a wreck. They've gone after that O-line last 2 years. I think they go get Patrick Surtain from Alabama at corner. And then I think the Eagles want a corner. I think the Eagles want a corner, but they shouldn't be moving up in a draft. They shouldn't be giving away draft capital. They've not drafted particularly well last 3 or 4 years. I think they get Devontae Smith. So they give their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, another weapon. And the 12 spot feels about right for Devontae Smith. I think he's a little overvalued, but I do think he'll succeed. Some weight concerns. So this is my guess. Again, I don't know. I looked a lot at Fox Bet this morning. I looked at betting markets. That's kind of my guess. And I think I got the first 3 down. I got the first 4 down. I feel, you know what? No, I got the first 5 down. After that, I could whiff on all of them. And now we bring in a former NFL scout for a bunch of different teams, works at the NFL Network, highly respected, Daniel Jeremiah. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what seriously, I feel, so go look at my board. I feel good about my first 5 picks. You look at my first 5 picks. Are you kind of in the same ballpark?
Well, I feel great about the first 4. I think 5 is a debate. And I heard you talking, Colin. I've been in that same camp with Jamar Chase at 5, knowing the tackle depth that you could swing around and get one in the second round. I was kind of in that camp. And then 2 things. Number 1, I don't know why, but when they tweeted out that picture of the new uniforms, I couldn't stop staring at that scar on Burrow's knee. And I thought, okay, it's just, I couldn't. So I was like, okay, maybe Sewell. And then once all this medical information has come in, and it's coming late, I talked to a team this morning that got medical information this morning that removed one player from their board. It's a train wreck trying to get through all this medical stuff. And it's hit the defensive line particularly hard. So a lot of those picks in the 20s that we thought were going to be defensive linemen a month ago, I think a lot of those guys are going to drop. And I think some of those second round offensive linemen everybody was so fired up about are going to sneak their way into the back end of the first round. So I could see the Bengals getting cold feet on that one and end up going with Sewell. But I think it's a toss up to me, 50-50.
Listen, we have it. You know, I mean, you were scouting for you've scouted for the Eagles, the Browns, the Ravens, and you're as respected as any former scout that does this. And, you know, it's interesting is that Patrick Surtain, the corner from Alabama, is clean. Yeah. Like, there's no baggage. Yeah. J.C. Horn, bigger personality, aggressive. Now he's the hot guy moving up. When you're in a war, because I do think I could see Dallas, they like flash. We all know that. I could see them arguing themselves, because I think they're both going to succeed. I could see them arguing over Horn is going to get a buzz. He's a playmaker. His dad was a playmaker. Dallas at 10, are we sure they're taking the Bama corner?
I think they're taking whichever one of those corners gets there. I do not think both of them get there. And to kind of echo a little bit of what you were saying, to me, the three safest players, let's take Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts and put them on another island all by themselves. Okay, those guys are unicorns. The three safest players in the draft are the two corners. And you talk about Surtain and Horn. They both played against the best competition in the best league. They played at a high level. They've got clean medical. They're height, weight, speed guys. The character's great. Clean as can be. And then you look at Elijah Vera Tucker from USC, who I think is going to be an 8-year Pro Bowl guard. You know exactly who he is. He comes in clear packaging. He's got, again, clear medical, great character, checks every box. Those are the three safest picks in the draft. And in a year where we have so much uncertainty, I can't see the Cowboys at 10 even being in a position to have to make the choice. I think that choice will be made for them.
So I'm going to throw my thing out I said about Mac Jones, even if you loved him.
Yeah.
So everybody's always trying to win trades. But I can make an argument. You only gave up a second for Garoppolo. That's what Miami did for Josh Rosen and New England did for Mohamed Sanu. You won the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. You don't need to win it again. Why not just keep him around, even if you like Mac Jones? Do you want him starting week one against Aaron Donald? Do you want him week three against Pete Carroll? Can I make an argument, and take me into how NFL teams think? We won the Garoppolo deal. We were 4-12 or 3-whatever they were. 3 years later, we're in the Super Bowl. We gave up a second. Why not just keep Garoppolo until the wheels fall off or Mac Jones is ready?
Yeah, the only argument I would say against that, and I think there's some logic there, especially just let's buy time for whoever it is. If it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, whichever direction they end up going there at 3, which I still think there is still to be determined there on how that shakes out. But I also see the other side of it from a team standpoint. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's very well liked in that locker room. And now you get off to, say he starts playing, he plays well early in the season. You've got kind of the older part of the locker room that's is gravitated towards Jimmy. They don't want to see that baton ever get handed to the younger guy. It can get a little bit messy there, where if you just say, okay, look, everybody in the building, downstairs, upstairs, they know that Mac Jones is our guy. There's nobody else. He's the guy. We're going to roll with him. And maybe we start off a little bit slow, but we've got a 17-game season to figure it out. We think he'll get there quicker than most rookies coming in as polished as he is. So that's the other argument for maybe moving on.
Okay, you're the general manager of Denver. And yep. Lance and Justin Fields are both available. Now, because of Teddy and Drew, you got a year here. You don't have to play them day one. You're not going to win that division anyway, I don't think. So you got a year. You're the GM. You watched all this tape. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, who do you take?
Well, I'm taking Trey Lance. I don't think there's a wrong decision because I have them so closely graded. I think Trey's my 7th overall player. Justin's my 8th. The tiebreaker for me was I thought Trey was a better decision maker. He protected the football. I thought Trey played with a little bit more urgency in terms of just everything he did. He just was a little bit quicker with everything. Didn't take sacks, didn't turn the ball over. I don't think he's even scratched the surface of what he can be. But I like Fields as well. I think Fields is going to be a really good player. I think all those four guys, to me, Mac Jones is the fifth guy. I have him a little bit lower. He's my 32nd overall player. Those other four guys, I think, are worthy top 10 picks in a lot of years, not just a one-off year. I think these guys, you put them in different draft classes, there's a lot to like. And to me, it's not necessarily – people keep asking, what's wrong with Justin Fields? I mean, no, no, what's right with Trey Lance is how I would respond to that. I think they're both going to be good pros.
All right, I'm very – let's look at my obnoxious mock draft. Let's let Jeremiah pick it apart. I'm very thick-skinned here. So put up my mock draft one more time. Okay, I'll give you an example. So my argument on Detroit Penei Sewell is this. Matt Stafford was running for his life, and he's more mobile than Jared Goff. You can, you know, you lost Kenny Golladay, I get it. But this team hasn't had a legitimate great O-line in 15 years. Doesn't Penei Sewell make sense for the Lions?
So here's the way I came out with this one. I ended up giving him Rashawn Slater because I had Sewell off the board. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that you could put Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman, and John Dorsey in one room and come out with anything other than an offensive lineman. I know Brad Holmes is the general manager, but that's that collection of people coming together and saying, we're going to take Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. I couldn't get my mind to that place. So that's why I ended up going with an offensive lineman there.
Okay, so where do you have Penei Sewell going?
I had him going to Cincy at 5.
Okay. I'll throw this curveball at you. Yeah. So let's say Cincy takes Ja'Marr Chase and Miami goes Waddle because Will Fuller can't stay healthy. What if what you just said is true and they take Slater and now Carolina's on the phone with New England and Carolina's like, oh my God, Penei Sewell?
They aren't trading out.
That's what I think. They're not trading out.
They don't have a left tackle. They don't have a left tackle. So you've got a left tackle staring you right in the face. I mean, look, give Sam Darnold a chance. I don't see how they would trade off that pick if that were the case. Personally, I wouldn't. I would take Slater. I mean, either one of those guys I'd be happy with. I think either one of them are an enormous upgrade at left tackle and will give Sam Darnold an opportunity to have some success.
All right, guess. Will Belichick trade up tonight? What's your guess?
I put him trading up in my mock draft. I have no clue what those guys are going to do. I would say I don't think so because I think somebody else is going to be more motivated. I think they would entertain it, but I don't think they'll overpay, and I think somebody else will.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network coverage of the draft from Cleveland tonight at 8 Pacific Eastern. That's 5 our time out west. Enjoy Cleveland. I've heard it rocks. That's the old saying they say. It certainly will tonight, whether it does long term. Have a blast. Daniel, thanks so much.
Real quick, Colin, as I leave, just remember the rules. If the mock draft goes way wrong for you, you don't care about it. We're just trying to have fun. If you get it right, you retweet that thing and you point yourself and say, who's the smart guy? This guy right here.
That's what I do on my show every day. That's the rule for my show every day. Daniel, great seeing you. Thanks.
See you, bud.
I mean, like, listen, we had a story yesterday where Carolina and New England talked. So that I trust the source on that. But what's interesting with Carolina, you can talk, but if you can get Penei Sewell or Slater, I don't care what that's because that Carolina's got one major hole, left tackle. After that, they need corners, maybe another defensive lineman. But I mean, I can set up all the trade stuff, but in the end, somebody is going to drop out of this thing,
right.
and they don't need a wide receiver, well, and they don't need a quarterback, despite what they say.
That's to DJ and Jay's point earlier. This is such a top-heavy draft. You don't want to move too far down because then you're taking yourself out of the space where the best players are in. So if you can get Sewell, what's the value of moving back? Like, there's not that many good players in this draft,
high-end
players.
So an NFL GM told me last night they have 18 players drafted as first-round players. 18. And I asked another executive 2 days ago. He had 17, 18. I asked him who his 17th, 18th was. And he said the running back from Clemson. Mm. He said we don't need him, but that's who I would say. So Najee Harris, the running back at Bama, I think is a little overrated. I wouldn't draft him first round. Although I do think Pittsburgh needs a running back.
They absolutely do.
So sometimes, listen, Sony Michel, New England went and got him for. Sometimes you just have a hole in your roster, and right now Pittsburgh needs a running back. So they're probably going to take one of those two guys if they're available. All right. Good stuff. Bill Polian, Drew Bledsoe. I'm not even close to exhausted. I'm going to have five more Red Bulls before I go to bed tonight.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Bradshaw and Fox Super 6 are giving away $5,000 for each day of the NFL draft. Download the app, play for free, and tune into NFL Network tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern to follow along live. One of today's contest questions is, how many quarterbacks will be drafted in the top eight? In the top eight. The options are 3 or fewer, 4, 5, 6 or more. Colin, what do you think?
I'm top 5. Eight. No, wait, time out. 4. Because I think Denver at 9 takes a quarterback. So I think, boy, that, you know what? Let me think about that. Well, if Carolina has Slater or Penei Sewell available,
they're not going to trade.
They're not trading out of there. That's exactly what they want for Sam Darnold.
Yep.
So I'm going to go.
And Detroit, Miami.
I'm going to go 3.
3? Top 8?
So exciting. By the way, good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, cut to the chase, order ahead, skip the line. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Is it Jersey Mike's Day or it's Thursday?
That's Thursday. Jersey
Got to negotiate
yesterday.
It. We got to negotiate a second Jersey Mike's Day. I mean, what's our sales staff up to? Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Cowboys defense struggled last season.
Yeah.
And could definitely use some improvements this year. And Dak Prescott expects the team to address those needs in the draft this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some great leaders. We just went and made a defensive change. So I'm trusting, obviously, the front office and the people that do that job. They drafted me, so I believe in those guys and think they know what they're talking about. But obviously, I think it'll be a heavy defensive draft for us. I just think it's obvious you go defense, and we would just make our team better over on that side.
Yeah, the defensive side of the ball is the side of concern for the Cowboys.
And they just go all in on it. If you can land one of the two corners, if you look at your recent drafts, now, you don't have to worry about that for years. Safety, D-line. And just next eight picks, they could use a tight end later. I could see Dallas going corner, edge rusher, tight end, then all defense.
Well, their offense was rolling before Dak Prescott went down last year. They have Amari Cooper. They have CeeDee Lamb. They have Zeke. They have Michael Gallup. They have Blake Jarwin. And they had the 28th ranked scoring defense and 23rd in total defense last season. So even if they went like Carolina did and went all defense, I would get an offensive lineman because their offensive line is aging. Yeah. I would get an offensive lineman later in the draft. But focusing on defense is definitely – and it's good that Dak said this as well because, for fans, sometimes that can be jarring. Like, whoa, we went all one side of the ball, like really heavy on one side of the ball, even though you are aware that that's a thing of need. You know, offense is more exciting and we can get really caught up in the skill positions and, tight ends and things like that. So this is definitely something that the Cowboys need to invest in. And, the Cowboys are a flashy team and it's not really that flashy to go all defense, so.
No, and they should go boring. They should do interior defensive linemen and safeties and a tight end. It's a completely boring draft. I'm not sure if they're capable of that, but this should be. I mean, they've got plenty of flash,
right.
And they pay all that flash.
Exactly.
Go get safeties, interior defensive linemen, and a tight end.
You
You're
don't
good.
Have to be the story of the draft. Be the story of the season.
Boom. That's a new motto.
That's what they call a bar, Colin.
Well, what bar meaning a good term or a sentence? What does that mean, a bar?
It's a bar. Like, it's a good line.
And you need a good line at the bar, so...
No, not like for that bar. No.
What? Am I wrong?
We got confused, yeah.
Was that outrageous? Was somebody...
It was a clever saying, but that's not... Like, a bar is like... Ryan, will you help me? it's a good line. Like,
so you got a good line.
You got a good line.
Good bar.
We'll leave it at that.
Good bar there. So lit.
The Falcons have been the focal point of the draft, although the Niners have kind of stolen all the headlines in the past couple days. But we really feel like it starts with the Falcons at 4 because what they do can kind of really determine the rest of the draft. The Patriots are in the mix to possibly move up. According to Jeff Howe of The Athletic, New England's pursuit of a quarterback is not slowed down, and Justin Fields is their likely target. They have spoken to Atlanta about making a move up to number 4. This would be...
I keep hearing that, but Atlanta's driving a hard... I mean, if I can get Kyle Pitts, it's one thing if I could get a nice guard or not. If I can get Kyle Pitts, what do you have to give me to move off that? It is a... I don't think Atlanta's going to... I think Atlanta would move, but Atlanta's saying, I have the second best player in the draft.
Can we put that back up? I don't think it... that New England needs to move up to number four to get
either
Justin
do I.
Fields.
Either do I.
But who's going to, your point, who's going to give Atlanta enough to move to number four?
By the way, Carolina could move down. I could see them potentially. If, like, let's say Slater's gone or Penei Sewell will be gone, and I could see, you know, the Lions doing what the Lions do. But to move off Kyle Pitts, who next to Trevor Lawrence is the lock in the draft, but you, like, would really have to back the truck up for me.
What about this, though? So we know first three is going to be quarterbacks. Falcons, Kyle Pitts. Bengals not taking quarterback. Dolphins not. Lions not. Panthers, if Penei Sewell or Slater is there, is not going to move and take that. So say the Broncos go with Trey Lance, because that's who they've been high on.
That's interesting.
Now the Cowboys don't take a quarterback. The Giants don't. The Eagles may not or could possibly trade with the Patriots there. The Chargers are not going to. I mean, you're getting down in the draft. Like, they might not have to move that far up to get Justin Fields.
Yeah, you can make that argument. Listen, I think...
outside of the top three, there's not that many teams between the Patriots
that's
and
right.
Well, the top three that need a quarterback.
We talked about it. Belichick tends to be patient. My guess is Belichick... there's no reason for the Patriots to make a move that now.
Right.
Just watch the draft.
Right.
So if Atlanta doesn't go quarterback, and we don't think they will, just sit there and wait. Because I think Carolina's bluffing. I think Carolina's telling you they take a quarterback. I don't think they're taking... now, if you do, if you just... and by the way, if you have Justin Fields and Trey Lance the same, the only concern for New England is Denver is going to take a quarterback.
Right.
The only concern is, do they play
Justin Fields? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you like Lance and Fields. So I do think if both quarterbacks, Fields and Lance, are available, I do think they'll move up to eight. Because... Carolina's doing the heavy bluff, but now they've moved... think about this, Joy. Why did they move Bridgewater yesterday? Just think about this. So New England's probably saying, Carolina, you're bluffing. You got two quarterbacks. But if you move Bridgewater yesterday, which Carolina did, now New England's going, okay, now they may draft a quarterback. So I think that the Bridgewater move was very smart by Carolina. You weren't going to play him, but move him out a day before the draft. Now New England's like, well, they actually do need a second quarterback somewhere in camp.
Or they could like Justin Fields or Trey Lance more than Sam Darnold, and they're not afraid to have that kind of competition there.
All right.
So, yeah, you're right. That put a little pressure on them. So the Giants picked up Saquon Barkley's fifth-year option. This will keep him in New York through the 2022 season. He's recovering from an ACL tear last year. He suffered in week two, but he's reportedly back on track to be ready for the start of the season. He missed time in 2019 with a high ankle sprain during the season.
Yeah.
But this is good news for the Giants.
Yep.
Obviously, he is the star and the engine of this offense. So it'll be good to see him back out there. But the Giants are a really interesting team to me this year.
I got to tell you, they're the one team we think is bad. Tell me all their holes. Their offensive line is fine. Their defensive line is excellent. The receivers now are good. The tight end's good. Star running back. Safeties aren't an issue. They could use a corner, no question, but their defense is pretty darn good. To me, they don't, you know, you look at the Giants, if Joe Judge is good, if he's Brian Flores, and we kind of think we saw some stuff.
They have a new offensive coordinator, too.
So... and Giants are not in that division.
So I keep telling everybody, everyone keeps talking about how bad the NFC East is. It's not going to be the same as last year. It's not going to look like it did last year.
My guess is by Monday morning, I feel the Cowboys win it and the Giants are second. Because Philadelphia is a mess. And no, wait, time out. No. By Monday morning, I think Dallas wins it and Washington and the Giants battle for a
second,
wild card.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's fourth.
Well, yeah.
The rock, paper, scissor coach, fourth. All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd.
Every time we say
news.
A division's great, it disappoints us. And when we say a division's awful, it's better than we think.
Well, look what happened in the NFC East last year. Everyone got injured.
So if
there was not a team in the NFC East that didn't play with the backup quarterback at some point.
Dak goes comes back. You right. upgrade coordinator. You get the number one corner, and you have 9 picks left. Dallas could be a really solid team next year.
Daniel Jones is going to be out there with a new coordinator, a lot of new pieces on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he was drafted number one, like Trevor Lawrence will be tonight, back in the 93 NFL draft, but he wasn't out of a football power like Clemson. It was Washington State. Drew Bledsoe, a Super Bowl champ, 15 years in the NFL, is joining us now live. So it's interesting. Let's go back to your draft, and people say, you know, Trevor and Mac Jones, they're ready to play now. But you've been the number one pick. How ready were you, and how ready were you not week one?
You know, it was such a mind-bending experience, Colin. I mean, shoot, I was 21. I was a young kid out of Walla Walla, out of the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, man, I get thrown out there week one against the Buffalo Bills, who I had just watched in the Super Bowl. And I remember so distinctly that first day, I'm out there playing catch, and Bruce Smith comes down the tunnel. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm on the wrong field. I'm in the wrong place. I can't be out here with Bruce Smith. You know, and then Jim Kelly was one of my idols, walks by and pats me on the butt. And, but, you know, the one of the truest sayings ever is, you know, ignorance is bliss. I didn't know what I didn't know, so I kind of just went out and played. You know, we lost to the Bills, but that first game, I don't know. I was ready, but the coaching staff also took pretty good care of me, which is important for young guys.
By the way, I mean, people talk about that. You know, where you land matters. When you hear Justin Fields may drop in the draft, you know, Dan Marino did, worked out pretty well. What do you make of that dropping in the draft thing?
Well, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks that have had, you know, immediate success recently. You know, Justin Herbert is a great example. Last year, dropped a little bit in the draft, went to a great organization and a really good team in the Chargers. I think they're going to be a contender now going forward. So he had great success. You know, Pat Mahomes, you know, slid, you know, to the Chiefs and to Andy Reid. Now, you know, these guys are exceptional talents. But as a quarterback, you know, it's as much about where you land and what kind of organization you're a part of as it is your own individual talents. You know, look at Lamar Jackson, obviously a transcendent talent, but man, he landed in a good situation.
Yeah, Marino dropped, Aaron Rodgers dropped. I mean, the bottom line, you get a better roster the more you drop. That part you can't deny. Now, I got to say, I think the Niners, I don't know, I think they've already figured it out. Now I think it's just a bunch of leaks. What do you make of all these? I mean, good God, there's a story every 15 minutes out of San Francisco. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, Colin, one of my favorite terms from your world is the hot take. Which you say hot take, that just means you're going to say something that's probably wrong. But my hot take, Drew's hot take that I'm probably wrong with, I don't think they're even going to draft a quarterback, Colin. And you look, and the reason I say that, a couple of reasons. Number one, the 49ers, since John Lynch has been there, they never leak. I mean, you know this. They never. So if they're all of a sudden they're leaking like a sieve and there's, you know, all these stories out there, I think they're doing it on purpose and intentionally to distract people from what they're actually doing. You've got a guy, Penei Sewell, up here in Oregon, who's one of three guys, I think, in this draft that are sure bets. If you can get a guy like that, that you can be like Joe Thomas for you and, you know, lock up, you know, your offensive line situation for you for a decade, you know, and then you look at the other thing, you look at how John Lynch has built his team since he got there. He's done it the right way from the inside out. He focuses on offense and defensive line first. So that's my hot take for the day. I don't think they're even drafting a quarterback. I think it's a big bait and switch, and they're just trying to, you know, look at this bright, shiny object over here, and they're doing something else. Because, you know, if you got 5 quarterbacks in the draft that you like, why do you have to move up to 3? You know, move up to 8. So I think they're messing with everybody.
Boy, you're going to get whacked for that. It is a crazy hot take by Drew Bledsoe. You know, so much of this stuff, you played at Washington State, which didn't have a ton of NFL players. And I'm and by the way, if Washington State in your day played North Dakota State today, which is a really good football program, it's a damn good game. When I look at them, I look at Trey Lance and Carson Wentz essentially played at the Alabama of their level of football, and that level, as we know, we saw Boise State beat Oklahoma. We know North Dakota State could probably beat outside of the top 15 a lot of college teams. So I don't look at Trey Lance as played down there. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Well, you know, I think, and I've heard you talk about this a little bit, and I think that there's some truth to it. There is a downside to playing for the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the Ohio States as a quarterback, because you don't get hit a bunch. You're throwing to guys that are always wide open. And so I think there is a benefit, honestly, to playing at a smaller school where, you know, maybe you got to fit the ball into a little tighter window like you're going to have to in the NFL. You're going to have to, you know, deal with pressure. You're going to get hit a little bit like you will in the NFL. And so I think that there is a benefit sometimes to playing at a smaller school like that. But the thing, there are a couple of things that I always look at with quarterbacks. You know, you're watching Trey Lance on right now. Number one, he's a dynamic runner, which, you know, that was never a big part of my game. But when you watch where receivers catch the ball, right? Are they reaching back for it? Are they stopping and waiting for it? Or is the ball hitting them right in the face where they can just continue to run? The guy's remarkably accurate. You know, big arm talent, which, you know, that sort of matters. But the accuracy is far more important. And then everything I've read and heard about the kid is that he's just a super high character kid. So I'm bullish on this guy. I hope he lands in a good spot. There's some noise that he could even fall to the Patriots, which would be a great situation for him to go, you know, work with Cam for a year and learn that offense and be a part of a great organization. So I'm really bullish on the kid, man. I really think he's going to be a good one.
All right. 28 years ago, you were drafted number one. The draft is now a gigantic operation. It's massive business. They move it to cities. There'll be 100,000 people. So go back. Were you sitting in Walla Walla on a couch with your parents?
No, we actually flew. You guys threw that picture up there earlier. I think I was the last and maybe only ever number one draft pick to not wear a suit. And that's just because I was so country. I didn't even own a suit, Colin. I'm up there in jeans and sneakers and a red shirt with my folks and my brother. But no, we went back to New York City. It was the first time our family had ever been on an airplane together.
Wow.
You know, my folks were school teachers. We went on vacations in station wagons. So we're back there walking around New York City, you know, in the middle of the night when we got in. It was a crazy, crazy time. But yeah, it's far different now. Like back then it was 2 days and, you know, I mean, it was a deal, but it's not the big production that it is now, certainly.
Wow. First time you and your parents had ever flown together. Look at that. That's a great American story. And now you own a winery. I mean, what's going on with your life?
Oh, man, life's good, Colin. Yeah, I'm actually, I'm always trying to have an interesting backdrop for you. So right over my shoulder back here is, that's the barn from the Flying Bee Ranch in Ellensburg, Washington, where my folks grew up. We now have a Flying Bee brand on our wine, which is pretty fun to be able to carry that forward. But yeah, no, the wine business is going good. Our Josh McDaniels, our winemaker, not the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, had a great year in 2020, made some amazing wine for us in 2020. He had a much better year than the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, did in 2020. But he's just kicking ass with our whole team, making great wine for us. And we're having a lot of fun with it.
Double Back Winery, Drew Bledsoe. Great seeing you, man. Appreciate you as always.
Hey, thanks, Colin. Appreciate it, bud.
You bet. This Mother's Day, thank her in a big way. 1-800-FLOWERS right now. 30 assorted tulips, $30. 1-800-FLOWERS.com. Click the radio icon. Enter the code HERD. I do think the Niners are taking a quarterback. I think they gave up too much not to. Now, by the way, you can trade, right? I mean, if somebody else loved a quarterback, you could go down to 4. You could go down to 5. Like, I can see New England and Carolina just watching this draft up to the minute and go, all right, let's go move down a slot or two. You know, I think the Chargers could move. I think because the bottom line, if some of these teams up there have a lot of the teams in the top 2 or 3 picks usually have a bunch of needs, Jags, Jets. And then you get into, you get into that Charger Carolina space where it's like both need a corner and a left tackle. Like Chargers have a better roster than Carolina, but their needs are the exact same. And if one of them, like I think both corners are gone by the time the Chargers pick. I'm not so sure on the tackles. I think somebody's going to drop in this draft. somebody's going to drop. So Devontae Smith is somebody we talked about. I think Rashawn Slater is potentially dropping. But I do think New England and Carolina, the story was yesterday, they've already talked, meaning they've set up some parameters. And I think if God, I have a hard time. If both tackles are gone for Carolina, that means one of those corners at least is available, and I don't think they'd move down. I'm saying it right now. I do not think Carolina moves down. But then I think to myself, then why do they say they want a quarterback? Because that's because they want somebody to offer them a boatload of picks. Carolina's fascinating today for me. Enjoy spa-like comfort. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com and get a Navien tankless water heater. Save money, save the planet. Highly efficient, 15-year limited warranty, tanklessmadesimple.com.